Well, if you remember hearing that song being sung, you're over 60 years old, folks. 1965 seems like just yesterday to me, but doggone it. Turn, turn, turn. That group has something to say to us. But before that, I'm Pastor Dan Nordine. I'm part-time on staff here, and I haven't had a chance to meet all of you, but love to. My position is the pastor of visitation and spiritual care. And when Pastor Paul asked me to preach on the weekend of March 14th and 15th, I gladly grabbed it. I enjoy preaching. Little did I know that Pastor Paul was going to arrange for a snowstorm on Sunday. But anyway, he'll come back. A little divine comedy, I think, on that one, but that's just fine. You know, we have this theme that we have going through Lent of slaying Goliath. And if this is your first time worshiping with us through the last 3-4 weeks, we're talking about issues like Goliath being that image of that warrior that couldn't be taken down, that the little shepherd boy took down with a slingshot. What we're asking ourselves is, what are the Goliaths in our day that need some attention? What are the things that need to be eliminated in order to find that fullness of life that God had intended? And so we've talked about stresses in relationship. We talked about excessive time on the screen. We've talked about loneliness. And tonight we're talking about the ways in which that time can be used wisely or poorly. A question was asked by a friend who saw his classmate, who hadn't seen for some time. Tell me, where is your life going these days? And his friend responded to him, you know, to be honest with you, I don't have a clue where my life is going, but I'm sure making good time. Making good time. Interesting idiom, isn't it? We can't make time any more than what we can save time. Time is a given for all of us. The clock clicks the same, and we can't make it, and we can't save it. But we can choose how we're going to use the gift of time. When we talk about the gift of time, the place where we start is that gift is a gift from God that is intended to be used for the good of our own well-being. So there's a gift in waiting as we examine what we're looking at tonight. Time. What we just heard read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is that whole issue of time being that which is capturing all of our lives, every single one of us. And when we read just verses 2 through 4, the writer of Ecclesiastes says it's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Many feel that what Ecclesiastes is talking about here is not episodes and snapshots. He's not talking about events, but he's talking about seasons, how we move from one season to another, sometimes consciously and sometimes not, and we're not even aware what season we might be in. Well, for 5 glorious weeks, my wife Nancy and I enjoyed the time down in Fountain Hills in January and the first week of February. Now, I don't have to remind you, if you were here in January, what your temperatures were. But to make you feel even better, it was 75 to 80 degrees every day in Fountain Hills. I loved it. But 5 weeks was just about the right amount of time to be there. I found out that I really do like Minnesota seasons. I do like the changes of seasons, and even though winters might be harsh with its cold and its snow, there's something about knowing that spring is on the way. And friends, that is significant. It's not only significant when we look at our timing of seasons, but talking about our lives, that when we live in a winter of life, when disappointments seem to be piling up on us, to know that spring is coming and that life that's going to burst through all that which looks like dearth and darkness is going to be our gift. You see, that's the good news. The good news is that in the resurrection, we can be sure that no matter what we're going through in our winters of life, spring's going to offer a new gift for each of us. So for those of us who are grieving tonight, those of us who are still weeping and quietly wondering why we cannot get over that loss of that loved one, hold on to the promise that the season of resurrection life is on its way. In the Greek language, there are three tenses for that they use in the language. The past tense has two different forms. One is a past tense, which means something happened and it's done. The second is an aorist past, which means that something happened in the past, but the ripple effect means that it continues to be an effect in our lives even to today. Then the present tense is real time. And the future, of course, is that which is in coming. When we talk about Ecclesiastes and his use of time, I think that he's talking about all three tenses, about the way in which that we've all had events that have marked us in the past, in the aorist tense, that have affected us for good and sometimes for not so good. But the important thing that we remember when we read the book of Ecclesiastes is that we're not stuck. No matter where we are, whether it's a sense of discomfort or that sense of pain that we have, we are not stuck where we are. The season of spring is coming. I'm wondering if we need that more than ever in our day. When we live in a culture of our country, for sure, being so mean-spirited, when we communicate, maybe less so person to person, but sometimes in our social media with words and phrases and cutting images that we would never say to other people, but we seem to get by with it. Friends, I would like to suggest that Ecclesiastes would want us to consider that we can enter a season of newness that doesn't include all those harsh words and the ways in which that we communicate that is not helpful. So maybe we can pray for that new season for our own life and how we relate to each other on a day-to-day basis, but also pray for our country that we might find a new beginning, a new season. When I was young, my parents both worked on a dairy farm. It was their love. We didn't get on many vacations, but when we did, we cherished it. And that old 59 Ford, I remember getting ready to go, and one of the last things to get into the car was Dad's thermos bottle. If you remember that red plaid thermos bottle with a red or black top that screws off and you use that as the cup? Well, I will guarantee you that when we left Lake Lillian, I think we got maybe 8 or 9 miles. Sometimes we got as far as Cosmos away from Lake Lillian, and Dad would break out the coffee to drink. Part of the precious memories I have of road trips with Dad. But then after that, he would go into a sound sleep when the rest of us would do the driving. And when Dad woke up from that sound sleep in the car, he would oftentimes wake up and he'd say, "Where are we?" And we tried to describe to him where we were, and that wasn't good enough. He said, "Stop the car. Stop the car." And he had to literally get out of the car, and he says, "I have to get my bearings straight." That means he had to get right in his head that north is up there, and east and west and south are in the directions that he could comprehend. I'm wondering, folks, in the time that we have on earth, when we sometimes run so fast, I wonder if we need to stop sometimes to get our bearings straight, to really get our compass to mark straight north, and we know what direction we're going, to get our gyroscope spinning properly, so that we know where we are and we know where we are going. I have a motorcycle that I just love, because on the dashboard, it's a, for you Harley riders, you won't like this, it's a Goldwing. Sorry, Kurt. But on that dashboard, it gives you everything you want, the speed, of course, and everything else, the tire pressures for both the front and back, and air temperature, and everything you want. But this is the most unique thing I discovered. If I've been on that bike too long, many hours in a given day, and my stops at the gas station were so short that I didn't even get off the bike to put more gas in, put the handle back, and then take off again, Within, I would say, 2-3 hours, a banner would read on the bottom of that GPS screen, "Stop for coffee and get something to eat." I didn't think my motorcycle would have to tell me when to stop to eat, but it did. But you know what? It was saying to me something. I wondered if we oftentimes don't need to be reminded when to slow down, when to stop from our busyness so that we can rediscover who we are and where we are and where we are going. The Apostle Paul said this, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Be transformed. I'm wondering if that shouldn't be the prayer of our hearts tonight. That our way of thinking about the way that we use time, and maybe for some of us, we race through life far too fast and we try to cram too many things in our calendar and our schedules, that maybe we need to slow down in order to discover which direction we really are going. I was so intrigued watching the Olympics, and during that same time, much of the social media had the Walk for Peace by 19 Buddhist monks. Remember seeing that? Remember that beautiful dog that was always trotting alongside of him, Aloka? I was taken up by that. There was something about the way in which that they were communicating a message of peace in their own simple way, and many times without using any words whatsoever, saying that we can live together in peace, and that their wish would be that we'd all know what it was to live in peace in our own being, in our own self, in our own families, in our own communities, and yes, and even in the world. Those Buddhist monks were communicating something about a new season that I think we could all look forward to, a season of peace. When Jesus invited us to follow him, he was inviting us to join him on a walk that communicates good news to everyone that we encounter, no matter where we go. And so to be participants with Jesus in the season of peace, we're challenged to leave behind our old ways that are marked with shouting matches and harsh words. To walk in the season of gospel peace requires that indeed the way we think about other people in ways that are not healthy to be transformed. Yes, the theme that the Buddhist monks would oftentimes say when they were speaking to groups was this: today is the beginning of peace for you. Today. What I heard them say so clearly, and it spoke to me, because I oftentimes say, yes, I am all in favor of peace, and I'll work for it in special ways sometime down the line. But they were saying, today is the beginning of that peace. I would wish that we could see that season of life that God has intended for us to walk into would not be delayed anymore, but say, today is the beginning of our journey through that peace. Parents, I have something to suggest to you, that when we talk about slaying the Goliath that wants to force us to be so busy all the time, I'm concerned about our young people. I love our sports, all sports. I participate in them and encourage them for my grandchildren and all that I care for. But I observe something. There's a tendency to somehow to sell out to a sport so that that sport consumes our young people's time almost to an unlimited amount. I think, parents, we need to ponder how we can encourage our kids to have fun in sports and do the best they can, but then allow some time for other things too. Let their gyroscopes learn how to spin around the important things in life, not just sports. Yes, we do need a restoration of the way we think. To slay the Goliath of our schedules out of control, there is a time for sunshine and there's a time for snowstorms. Just maybe in the coming 24 hours, some of us will find this to be a very important opportunity to slay the Goliath of time scarcity. Just maybe, when the storm limits our options for going out and being busy, when we're confined to our home, maybe there we can find a silent time and there hear God whisper to us, I love you. I have a plan for you. And you can trust me as I lead you into the next season of your life.